The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
After a brief summer vacation, we're back with Curtain Call Act 4, Scene 1. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Susie Hobbinstock from the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
First, we're going to talk about Invalid, or Invalid, at Firehouse through September 29th. This is an adaptation of the Molière classic, Imaginary Invalid, about a rich hypochondriac, his sassy maid, his gold-digging wife, and his determined daughter. Just before we start, I just want to say that Josh Chouinard, who directed it, also worked with Jane Mattingly to rework the original script by Molière. It's still in rhyming couplets. They've added a layer of modern references and slang for more humor. So what'd y'all think of the result?
For the most part, I think this is a show that you appreciate more than you actually enjoy. There are parts I think that are very funny. I really enjoyed the musical number that they kind of had to create on the spot. I thought Kenneth Putnam, as the son of the doctor, he's just such a talented physical comedian. Anytime he was on that stage, he was making people laugh.
He was hilarious, yeah.
And I also really enjoyed Alison Page Gilman. She plays the daughter of the protagonist. She's trying to get into her boyfriend's pants throughout the whole thing, and I thought she was very funny.
She was good. I agree with both of those. There's a talented cast. I just felt like their comic styles just didn't work as well together. The maid and the invalid, that would be Andrew Furta and Donna Marie Miller. Their interchanges just didn't have that fire to me that those two roles should really just be sassy and hilarious, and I just didn't think they ever had that tension that made them funny.
Maybe that's not what Josh Chouinard was going for in that case, but I felt that the cast was just overall pretty outstanding, starting with Kenneth Putnam. Loved everything he did. I liked Alison Page Gilman as the daughter. Donna Marie Miller was just awesome.
Yeah, and I thought it was actually really, really funny. I'm going to name check the rest of the cast because I thought everybody was great. Kirk Morton in drag and Jamar Jones, Christopher Dunn. I thought everybody did an incredibly hilarious performance. A lot of funny stuff happened on there. I know how quickly Jane and Josh put that script together, and I feel like it was very funny, not funny enough for how long it lasted, but they just spent a couple of months on this script. If they spent more time, I think, and upped the joke density, they could really have something great.
So I don't know if anybody else is going to mention this, but because of the modern references, the look on their faces when the boyfriend, Jamar Jones, shows up, because he is the only Black or African-American character there.
Right.
Toinette looks at him and says, well, this is going to change things. And there was that kind of running joke where no one could pronounce his name correctly.
Right,
and looking at the original script, it was Cleante. And, you know, there's that kind of joke that people cannot pronounce Black people's names. And I thought that that was just kind of taking something from the past and bringing it into the future.
Real quickly about the set, Chris Raintree designed a very simple set. It was kind of a cross between forced perspective and expressionism with a big crazy door that was all warped and then a floor that matched it. I had a problem with the four stools that were on the set. I felt like they didn't fit period at all. It should have been a settee or something. And it felt to me like every time the actors were trying to get on and off them, they were so high, they were sometimes having problems with them.
See, I just thought the whole thing was kind of surrealist. You know, there's nothing really in that set that looks like anything you'd actually have in your house. You know, between the invalid's wheelchair and, you know, you've got that cart that moves around filled with medicine and that door is crazy. I just thought they're playing with the fact that it was this, you know, absurd comedy.
Yeah, and everything was larger than person size. The chairs, the doors, the wheelchair, they were all too big. So it made sense that the chairs were too big. I actually loved the chairs. I thought they were beautiful.
I think everybody agrees there's some good things in it. Some people liked it more than others. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, we've been talking about Invalid, which will be playing at Firehouse Theater through September 29th. Now, Julinda and I are going to talk about Boeing Boeing, which is playing at CAT through September 22nd. A Lothario in 60s Paris juggles his affairs with three different airline stewardesses, which hopefully ultimately becomes a farce. Julinda, what did you think?
Well, it was a farce that had some problems in some cases. I thought it fell a little flat. One problem was that it's too long.
Absolutely.
The third act, which comes after the intermission, just seemed to kind of drag. It lost momentum. And I thought the women did a better job at the pacing and the comedy than the men, because Brent Deakins, who played the Lothario, and Travis Williams, who played his best friend, were more cartoonish to me than farcical, so it seemed almost as if they were performing in a different genre of comedy than the women.
You mentioned Brent Deacons. Because of the curtain call was kind of weird, and we both commented on that, that he did not come out with Travis Williams as the two guys who had to deal with this. Travis Williams came out last, but Brent Deacons, even though he was technically, according to the curtain call, considered a supporting role, he was distractingly over the top for me, for everybody else. He created a character that was neurotic, effusive, even a little swishy. I never would have believed that he could have charmed these three women into being their lovers. In short, I think he was just unbridled ham. He just went over the top. And unfortunately, because the director is a recent Christopher Newport University graduate, Glenn Abernathy, this was technically his first professional show. I think some of it goes to him because, as you said, the farce was all over the place. The three women were a little more realistic. The two guys were going crazy, and I think Travis Williams was trying to overcompensate a little bit to try to reach up to what Brent was doing. There was never a funny moment in the show. There was lots of falls and lots of physical gags, none of which worked. I thought it was pretty leaden and laughter deprived through the whole thing.
Well, I have to disagree a little. I think there were some funny moments, but I do think that it was up to Glenn Abernathy to keep the momentum going, and I don't think he was successful in that. Now, on the bright side, I really did think that Paige Riesenfeld, who played the German airline hostess,
Gretchen,
did
a
wonderful job. I really enjoyed her.
And Marcia Cunning, who was the Italian woman, was also enjoyable, not quite as strong. And then Riley Daniels, who played the New Yorker, she was kind of the weaker. It was interesting because the other two had very strong accents, and she probably could have had a New York accent, you know, which would have given, kind of kept that theme going. She really seemed a little weak.
And what about Sarah Summers, who played Bertha? I thought she did a pretty good job. I loved the wry expressions on her face and that kind of woe is me mentality that she kept. You know, she would just kind of collapse in a chair at any time and overstep her bounds as the maid. So I thought she did a pretty good job as well.
Sarah Summers used to act a lot in town, and she's taken a break for a few years to be a mom. And so it was nice to see her back on the boards. And I think with the right director and possibly a better script, she would even be more spectacular.
I'd like to see her again.
I think you enjoyed it more than I did. A good farce requires restrained, skilled comic ability, and I felt this like production had neither of those things.
Well, I did enjoy it a bit more than you, although I don't entirely disagree.
We've been talking about Boeing Boeing, which is at CAT, through September 24th. One quick note about CAT. There were stories a couple of weeks ago that they might be ending their extended run as a theater in town. But at the last minute, Virginia Rep has jumped in and offered to help them close the gap between what they needed to pay for rent and what they're going to pay. So CAT will continue this season. Boeing Boeing was not their last show. Speaking of shows, the season is in full swing and we'll have lots more reviews next week. Want to remind you that the Artsies, which is the Richmond Theater Critics Circle opportunity to celebrate the best of Richmond Theater, will be on October 7th at the November Theater downtown. Tickets are available for anyone who wants to come. It's not just limited to theater people, and you can call the box office at Virginia Rep 282-2620 for tickets. And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
Susie Hobbenstock from the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
And Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with lots more.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.